You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4. On this week's Meet the Author, Jim meets the Jamaican poet and author Kai Miller and talks about storytelling, memory and magic.
August Town, in Kai Miller's novel of that name, is an imaginary place in Jamaica, but it's quite real. The sounds and the smells, the voices in the street ring true. And his poetic style infuses this place with a kind of a gritty magic. Very appropriate, because here the past and the present always overlap. Legend and superstition are as real to people as the fiery politics of the island and maybe the smell of ganja in the streets. It's a town where they still tell stories of the preacher who could fly, and where we learn very early in the book that they're waiting for another autoclapse. And the first thing I'm going to ask you, Kai Miller, is to explain that word, which is familiar to anybody who knows Jamaica. What do you think it means to us?
Most Jamaicans would tell you it's derived from apocalypse. It's actually a 14th century English dialect word, afterclap, a kind of bad thing that happens after an event was presumed to be closed. So it definitely is a horrible thing that happens after. Again, August Town is slightly fictitious, but there is a very real place in Jamaica called August Town. It's called August Town because that's the day that freedom comes to Jamaica, August the 1st, 1838. And these are people who have learned to be disappointed, who have learned that this thing that is coming, at first freedom, isn't freedom at all, and it will turn out very badly for them. And that's why they believe that something horrible is coming, because they've lived a life where everything that was promised doesn't turn out the way it should.
Well, the story that dominates August Town in this telling of its life is the story of the preacher who could fly. Now, this is based on a real man.
Yeah, a very real man. This is based on Alexander Bedwood, who in 1920 says he's going to fly. And, you know, Jamaica is a very racialized, a very conflicted country at the time. And Bedwood, who exists at the same time as Marcus Garvey, the two of them are preaching these messages in Jamaica. Marcus Garvey, that is the atheist, chanting black power. And Alexander Bedwood is the kind of preacher man, also chanting black power. Marcus Garvey's philosophy can get so far and no more, because Jamaica is a religious country, and black power has to be embedded in a kind of religious doctrine for it to take off. And finally, when Bedwood and Marcus Garvey meet, when their doctrines meet, we come up with Rastafari, which is a kind of, you know, magical thing that happens.
So without the preacher who said he could fly, there would be no Rastafarians?
Absolutely not. He is absolutely essential. These two streams have to meet. And I think, you know, whereas we tell the story of Marcus Garvey a lot, we don't tell the story of Bedwood enough. And I think that's quite unfortunate. So I wanted to kind of, you know, rehabilitate and recapture that story.
Kai, give us a flavour of life in August Town.
The distant past comes back to us usually as a shock, an echo that has escaped its own fleetingness, that has widened so wide and so quickly we have slipped inside it without being ready. It comes then as a panic in the heart, a widening of the eyes, an O of the mouth. In the days of the flying preacher man, Matafi was the same age that Kaya is now. It does not surprise her that she was once a little girl. It surprises her only that she's now so many years away from that time. In them there long ago days, there was a church here in August Town, Matafi says, as if from far away.
You have been writing fiction for quite a while now, but you've also been a poet, a successful poet. How did the two writing disciplines interact in your mind?
I started writing fiction. I started writing stories. When I was at university, I started writing poetry, and I thought, my God, if I can write a half-decent poem, I might write a very good story. And so I started writing poetry in order to feed fiction, and poetry took on a life of its own at one point.
You've talked about having attention deficit disorder, which some people would categorize as a sort of disability, as a problem. It seems to me that you turned it into a benefit, because you've got this world that whizzes and fizzes around you. Do you find it actually has turned out to be an advantage?
It's an advantage in terms of my productivity as a writer. I certainly distract myself with one writing project with another writing project. And so, you know, generally I probably have three things on the go, which is useful.
And is that something that you just have to do because that's the way you are? Or is it something you also want to do?
Both. You know, when I was a kid in Jamaica, a playwright came and said, a career in the arts is something you should only do if you can't do anything else. And it was the most freeing thing I ever heard. I thought, I literally can't do anything else. So that was always a kind of freeing, wonderful thing to hear.
But you know you can do this.
I hope so. Dear God, I hope so.
You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.